welcome back to Unnerved, a horror movie podcast. Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back with us.
At Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
I already mentioned that, but if you're new here.
If you're new here, guys, it's been a really long day, but if you're new here, welcome. Christy and I cover a horror movie every other week, and then we talk about it. And because it is currently spooky season, 2023, we are covering the Saw franchise.
Yes.
So if you haven't listened to our first two episodes on this, go and listen to Saw and Saw 2. And this episode, we're covering
3 and 4.
Yes.
So our plan is to cover 3 and 4 together, 5 and 6 together, 7 and 8 together, and then 9, which is Spiral, will be its own episode. Just because that one follows a different timeline and a different storyline than the other 8.
Yes.
So,
which is fair.
Figured that'd be the easiest route to go, especially since a lot of our fun facts are going to become redundant because we covered a lot of the main points in the other two movies. And a lot of the storyline happens on top of each other at the same time. Like, 3 and 4 happen at the same time chronologically.
Yeah, so Christy is... we're going to cover this, you said, by character.
Yes, so we're going to cover the third film in the first 30 minutes here, and then we'll switch over to the fourth film. So it's like speed running two mini episodes for the price of one.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, hit us with our cast.
Okay.
Who are we diving into?
I'm going to be repeating people from the first two episodes at first, but then we'll have some new faces. So we have Tobin Bell as Jigsaw, or John Kramer. Shawnee Smith as Amanda Young. Angus McFadden as Jeff. Bahar Sumik as Lynn, Donnie Wahlberg as Eric Matthews, Dina Meyer as Carrie, Lee Winnell as Adam, Mifo Kao as Tim, Barry Flatman as Judge Halden, Larique Bent as Rig, Costas Mandalore as Forensic Hoffman, and Betsy Russell as Jill. And this is directed by Darren Lynn Bosman, and that he's the director for 4 as well.
Yeah, he's the most consistent director in the franchise.
I think we switch over in 5?
Yes, but Darren comes back.
Okay.
Later on.
That makes sense.
Yeah. He's the most consistent director. Everybody else kind of comes and goes. So we're going to do this by character instead of in chronological order necessarily of the film because it flip-flops so much. Like I said, 3 and 4 happen at the same time.
Yeah.
So, we start the movie with Eric Matthews. So, we're just going to start with him because he's easy peasy.
Are we just doing 3 with Eric Matthews or are we going to talk about 4 with him?
Well,
just 3.
This is just 3. The first 30 minutes is just going to be about 3.
Okay.
Like a mini episode of 3. So, Detective Matthews, we pick up right where we left off from Saw 2.
We do, yes.
And he's in the bathroom and he's trying to figure out a way to escape. And instead of doing what his predecessor in the bathroom has done before him, of sawing off his foot, he instead crushes his foot and slides it out of the shack.
I could not watch this. This was gross.
There was a lot of instances in these two movies that you were like, let me know when it's done.
They start to really ramp up the gore.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's gross. It's very gross.
I like it. But he escapes.
He does.
From his shackle.
He do.
That's pretty much all we see of Eric Matthews.
Yeah, we don't actually know his fate at this point.
Correct. So, we get a 6 months later type of situation. And we meet up with Riggs, and we get the first game of the film. So, the first game of the film is the classroom scene.
Yes.
And this guy who was in and out of prison and all that, he is chained in every different limb and, like, massive nerve in each of his limbs and his jaw, Achilles tendons and everything. He's chained from wall to wall. And his game, he has to rip out the chains from his skin.
Yeah, and then get out the door before the bomb explodes.
Correct. Now, we find out pretty quickly after, because the SWAT team shows up right after this scene. And it's a rough scene. He does get through the Achilles tendons. He just doesn't get through the jaw.
Yeah,
that's the only one left, which is an impossible thing in of itself.
Right, I was going to say, would you even survive that?
This trap is an unwinnable trap.
Yes.
Because they also had to cut down the door. The door was welded shut.
Yeah, so
he was never meant to survive.
Even if he got out of all of those chains, he wouldn't have lived.
Correct. Riggs is there. We meet Hoffman for the first time. And Detective Carey shows up,
mm-hmm.
points out that it was welded shut mm-hmm. and all that. They identify that it is not Matthews.
Yes.
That he's still missing.
And this likely isn't John or Jigsaw specifically. It's probably some kind of accomplice because Jigsaw always makes his games winnable.
Yes. And they're thinking it's Amanda, but at the same time, they're starting to maybe think of a second accomplice.
Yes.
Carey, we cut to her hanging out in her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessing over tapes and trying to find out where Eric Matthews could possibly be.
She is guilt-ridden.
She is, and she's worried. She feels like she brought him into this mess yeah. and everything like that. But she gets abducted.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets put into her own trap, which is the Blood Angel.
Yep. Which is cool.
The Angel Trap, which is based off of a real trap.
Oh.
A real
torture device?
Yes, the Blood Eagle. Which we've kind of covered a little bit as well in Midsommar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's based off of that.
Okay.
But more of a frontal ripping apart than yes. the back being exposed.
Yeah, the Blood Eagle, your back is open, right? And
they expand your lungs.
Yes, they take your lungs into, out. Yes. Yeah.
This one is just based more on the front and how it rips out your ribs
yeah.
and flinging them out like wings. She does not survive her trap. It is another unwinnable trap.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the face of the accomplice that put her in said trap.
Yep.
Right before it kills her.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, we're going to jump to who this movie is about.
Whose traps this is for, really.
So, we're gonna cover Lynn first.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So, Lynn, in her timeline of this movie. I'll stop when we get to the end, and we'll cover the end.
That's a good idea.
All together. So for Lynn, she is a nurse. She works at the same...
Doctor, I think.
She's a doctor, you're right, who works at the same... She's a trauma doctor,
mm-hmm.
who works at the same hospital that Gordon worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And they work together on Kramer's reports and everything like that. Jigsaw's
mm-hmm.
cancer. She is seemingly having marital problems with a guy named Chris.
Yeah, he says he wants divorce.
He wants a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
She is taking heavy antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
She's
clearly unhappy.
She's dealing with something heavy, and she's not dealing with it well.
No.
Because it's affecting her job, it's mm-hmm. affecting her life, it's mm-hmm. affecting her relationships,
mm-hmm.
and she is literally, like, a walking shell of herself.
I did call that she lost a kid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll cover in a bit.
But she has on, like, the inside of her locker some drawings. There's a Piggy drawing yes. in there and stuff. So I figured as much that she at least had or has one.
Yes. She goes through a trauma emergency, putting air into a child's lungs mm-hmm. because his lungs are collapsing and his rib and everything like that. But she gets him stable.
Stable. Mm-hmm.
Then she gets abducted from the hospital.
Yes.
And wakes up in Jigsaw's lair.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda, who we've seen in the previous two films, she fastens a shotgun collar
mm-hmm.
to Lynn. And Lynn then meets Jigsaw.
John.
Finds out that her game is to keep Jigsaw alive until another person's test is complete.
Yes.
If she doesn't and he flatlines, the shotgun collar will go off. She has no way of escaping because if she runs too far away from the sensor, it will also trigger the shotgun collar.
Mm-hmm.
Jigsaw is testing Amanda. We find that out in the end.
Yes.
That's one of the big twists. But he's yelling at Lynn, saying, don't give me that clinical jargon, which, mm-hmm. by the way, all the clinical jargon in the Saw movies is accurate.
Okay. That's cool.
I like that about these films. Everybody's like, oh, it's just torture porn. Like, yes, it is gory. Yes, it is hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that they put into these films can be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's
well thought out.
It's medically accurate.
Yeah, that's why we get to see all of it, too.
Yes. So, she is like, you have brain cancer, it's mm-hmm. gonna it's going to be a rough couple hours. You do not have long.
Mm-hmm. He is really not doing
well. And he is well aware.
Yeah, I mean, he has a seizure at one point.
Yes. So, throughout Lynn's timeline, she tries to convince them to go to a hospital because she doesn't have the proper tools.
Or the proper medication to put him under.
Correct. But she manages to at least get the tools, to some extent, to do a backyard...
back alley. Brain surgery.
Brain surgery. And she manages to get... to calm him down after a seizure. She cuts into the brain. We see the whole thing. She saws into his brain and it relieves the pressure and everything like that. And he stabilizes.
Yes.
So he's living his quote-unquote best life.
He's living a life.
Yeah, he's living.
Is it best? I don't know.
He is... She is also there witnessing him having some slight hallucinations.
Yes, he is.
About his former wife.
Yep.
And Lynn's just like, I'm trying to just keep you alive and keep Psycho Amanda away from me. Because this is a stressful situation.
Yeah,
it's and Psycho I am Amanda. Not part of this.
Psycho Amanda is Psycho Amanda in this movie.
Yeah. So that is her main thing throughout the film.
Yeah.
And what happens to her.
And there's a little bit of, like, she has a moment with her wedding ring. Does she put that back on or not?
Yeah. We're skimming over quite a bit of information just because we have a lot to cover.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the meat and potatoes man of this film. Who is known in the community as Slow-Ass Motherfucking Jeff.
Because he is Slow-Ass Motherfucking Jeff.
So, Jeff is suffering from the loss of his son, to the point where he's neglectful of his daughter.
Who is just trying to also grieve?
She's trying to cope, and she's and cuddling with a pig-stuffed animal that was his. And
this man loses his shit.
Yes.
Has a gun.
He is doing his taxi driver impersonation.
Yes, he is.
Of, like, say, like, are you looking at me type of a deal. And he wants vengeance on the people that took his son away.
Yes, because we find out his son was killed in a drunk driving accident.
And so, after that, he wakes up in a giant crate on top of a skid steer. And he is now in his game, which his game
is a little different than previous games.
And is the dumbest because there is no obvious physical risk to him.
Yeah.
Now, there is going to be emotional damage, which he does not know of yet.
Emotional damage.
He's unaware of the possible harms that can be done to himself. But none of it is physical. But he also doesn't think it
through. He's not like, you know, I've been captured and put in a crate. This person clearly knows a lot about my life and my recent life. Right. You know,
has a picture with his puzzle pieces throughout the game.
Of my family.
With the keys.
Yeah, like.
And everything like that.
Dude, maybe you should be a little more concerned, but Jeff is brain dead.
He has to. His game is that he has to forgive three individuals that had a big, major part in his trial, death, and everything like that for his son. And, like, the first person was supposed to just be an eyewitness, but she chose not to stand in court.
Because we find out in court, the drunk driver got a lessened sentence because, for reasons the judge decided.
Good behavior.
Yeah, something like that.
Type of deal. Now, the first person, she was an eyewitness, she didn't show up, or anything like that, and her game, or trap, is her the trap. Freezer room. She is just, she's naked, and is strung up by her wrists, and all Jeff has to do to, quote-unquote, forgive her, is take a key that is behind some frozen bars, and he's being dumb about it. All he has to do is take the key and unlock her.
That's it.
That's literally...
And then he saves her life and gets to the next area.
All he has to do in all three of them...
Yeah, is unlock the person from the trap that they're in.
Correct. So after he's having his little man baby moment,
He thinks about it way too long.
Not only that.
Way too long.
But when he decides to finally do something.
She's already dead.
No. But he's using his sleeve over his hand. Won't reach. Because he's cold.
Yeah.
So he doesn't extend his reach far enough to simply grab the key for 2 seconds of discomfort. As opposed to him being like, I don't want to touch anything. It's cold.
Yeah.
Bitch!
Yeah, he's awful.
She's frozen!
Yeah.
She's a popsicle!
She's getting water sprayed on her in order to freeze quicker.
Yes. And she does. She becomes solid ice.
She's dead.
Yes.
Fully dead.
Yes, he does. And
he sees no remorse.
He does get the key.
Yeah, he does.
But it's too late. And he's like, I forgive her. And he's like clawing at the ice. I'm like,
no, you freaking don't. He has no remorse.
No.
No remorse.
The second person is a judge.
Mm-hmm.
The judge that resided over everything. He is...
This is gross.
This is one of the grosser ones. He is chained down at the bottom of a vat.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes on, a pig will drop from conveyor belt and go through a giant meat grinder, and all of the guts and innards that were just liquefied will slowly drown the judge unless... So I asked motherfucking Jeff.
Decides
to burn his son's belongings to retrieve the key to unlock the judge, which he does succeed.
He takes a million years, like, oh my gosh, and the judge is actually trying to make a very good case.
He's empathizing.
Yeah, he's like,
hey, I have a son too.
I know you're upset. This is not the way to heal. We can talk about this. Like, the judge is really trying to get through to Jeff. And Jeff is just not... I fucking hate Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff is so bad. Jeff is so unenjoyable to watch.
Jeff is, in my opinion, the worst character in this entire franchise.
That's saying a lot.
In terms of being an in-depth character.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has no character development.
No.
At all.
No. But he does save the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And they move on to the final individual. The individual that did kill the son with drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on the track called the Rack, which is based off of the medieval rack.
Mm-hmm.
Where it pulls and stretches and twists your limbs.
Yeah.
So he's all hooked up, and it's also in the position of, like, crucifixion.
Yes. And the judge immediately is like, we gotta get this key. So the trap with the key is there's a shotgun, and if Jeff pulls the key, the shotgun will go off, potentially making Jeff take a bullet.
Yes.
Now.
Jeff, after... Three and a half of the four main limbs are already twisted backwards.
Mm-hmm.
He does finally get the key off the shotgun, but the shotgun goes off.
And it shoots the judge because he doesn't give a shit about where the shotgun's going off.
Not to mention the judge is standing...
Right there.
In the worst possible place.
Yeah,
And the whole thing.
The judge is trying to calm down the poor guy in the rack because he wants to do something about it, but it's not really, like, he's also kind of panicking. It's not his thing to do, like. Right.
And by the time Jeff gets there, judge is already dead, but by the time he gets to the rack again, the head is already spinning backwards.
Yeah, and he doesn't even try to find the key that much. The keyhole.
He finds the keyhole, he gives up.
Yeah.
When he hears the snap.
Yeah.
Which,
okay, fair.
Yeah, at that point.
But again, not all that remorseful.
But he's just like, I forgive him. No, you don't!
No, you just let him die. You just killed all three.
Yes.
All three of them.
Yes.
Jeff, you piece of shit.
So, Jeff then heads to Jigsaw's lair, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll cover Amanda real quick. Amanda, throughout this whole thing, has been suffering some... trauma of her own.
Mental health concerns. Yeah.
She is the main reason why the games are becoming unwinnable.
Yeah.
To certain individuals. And Jigsaw realizes this and is now testing Amanda to be able to let people heal and go based on his ideology.
Exactly. Because then if she can't do that, he considers her a murderer and Jigsaw...
And a failure.
Yeah. Jigsaw, quote, abhors murderers, even though he is one.
Yes. And she kind of has, she sees him as a father figure, but in, like, the creepiest way.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's, yeah. like, very she dependent.
She has extreme jealousy if he's thinking of anyone other than her.
Yeah.
But not in a romantic way.
No. It's
as, like, that's my dad.
As in, I have major daddy issues.
Yes. Now, she is also not coping well with the potential loss of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's dying. I mean, that's he's sad. Going to die. So the one person that has been sticking up for her and saving her throughout mm-hmm. her traumas and vices is going to die,
yes.
leaving her alone.
Mm-hmm.
She does get a note from the drawer, the desk, which Jigsaw told her to get. We'll find out in a later episode that that note from him was replaced by someone else's note.
Another disciple.
Which is why she's upset by the note that she reads.
Mm-hmm.
And why she does what she does in the finale.
Yeah.
So, at this point, Slow-ass motherfucking Jeff makes it to the lair. Lynn and Amanda and Jigsaw are having their big confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda realizes that it is now her game and that it's all bullshit and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She shoots Lynn.
She does.
Lynn falls into Jeff's arms. Jeff shoots Amanda.
Because we find out that Lynn is Jeff's wife.
Yes.
Not Chris.
No. The man Chris wanted her to divorce Jeff so that he could be with her.
Because he's the side.
He's the side chick. He's the French fries.
Yeah. He is.
He's the side.
And piece. Jeff is the burgie.
Burnt burgie. No cheese.
He's a plain.
Only mustard.
Plain burgie.
Yes.
And a bad, sad, soggy bun.
With Taco Bell lettuce. The worst lettuce.
Oh. Oh no. Yeah. Not unseasoned meat.
Gluten-free bun.
Soggy with the mustard.
Yep.
Taco Bell lettuce and an unseasoned patty.
And you know what? He can have one pickle.
No, he doesn't deserve a pickle. Only if that pickle is literally rancid.
It is. Good. Oh, it is.
Okay, good.
I don't like pickles. So
oh, you don't like, okay.
No.
I like pickles. I was like, why would you give him a little piece of heaven? You're not, no.
I don't like pickles.
Okay, from your perspective, that makes sense. From my perspective, I'm like, what are you doing? We don't give him treats. He's bad.
But it's also like, for people who like pickles, it's disappointing when you only get one pickle on a
burger. It's gotta be like a really small pickle. It's gotta be like, you don't know it's there, and then you bite into it, and you're like, what is this? And you realize there's a pickle.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, like, their pickle to chicken ratio, a little weird.
Well, they hate the gays, so they're weird.
That's true. True.
But Jeff kills Amanda. Amanda, we get all the flashbacks of, like, oh, it was of Jigsaw talking mm-hmm. to her, how it's her game, and she dies on the floor. And now Jigsaw's like, okay, Jeff, this is your final test.
Mm-hmm.
Can you forgive me for abducting your wife?
Mm-hmm. And you.
And you, and putting you through all this.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, you need to help your wife right now because she's literally dying.
Yeah, she's for real dying.
He's trying to tell him, like, hey, if I die, she dies. But
he's
like,
not doing it outright because he got tested.
In his Gandalf Riddle speak.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh.
It's me, Uncle Jeff.
Jeff says, I forgive you, while taking a giant power saw and slicing open Jigsaw's throat. Which then sets his heart rate monitor to flatline, and then the shotgun collar to go off, and the door slams, and the tape that Jigsaw was holding plays, mm-hmm. saying, hey, by the way, I abducted your daughter. Good luck finding her, because I'm, like, the only one that knows where she is.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you done doomed yourself. Game over.
Yeah. So, that is the gist of 3.
Thoughts,
feelings, concerns.
I hate 3.
Before 8, 3 was my least favorite.
3 makes me mad because Slow-ass motherfucking Jeff is such a shit-written character.
Yeah.
Like, I like Lynn. I like Amanda. Like
they tried. Now, this movie, the original cut, before mm-hmm. the editing room was over 3 hours long.
Oh my god.
So a lot was cut out. And also, they went into this without a completed script when they started filming.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning production. Taking those into account. And the actor is not bad. I feel like just Jeff was written poorly enough that it's a problem.
He just doesn't... He doesn't feel any remorse.
Urgency.
Yeah, there's no urgency. There's no quick pace. There's no, you know, there's no internal struggle for anything that he does throughout this movie. And then he still kills... It's like that cheap jump scare you get at the end where he still kills Jigsaw. It's just really dumb. It's just so dumb. I would rather him have sat there and, like, watched the kills and then been like, yep, I'm not remorseful. You killed my son. Like, that would have been more of an interesting take than him, quote-unquote, trying.
Yeah.
Like, playing with it. He could have done something like that. It's sadistic, but it's better than what he did.
Yeah. So, like I said, before 8 came out, this was my least favorite. And it's not a bad film. I like the other characters. I like Lynn.
I like Lynn.
Over the film does have character development.
She does.
She goes from a mindless shell of a human to realizing that she does still love
Jeff.
Her husband, Jeff.
I don't know why.
And that she does still remember the stakes of trying to help save a life.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is good at her job and that there are still things to live for.
Yeah.
She finds that throughout the whole movie.
She's totally fine. Amanda is good. You know, we get some really tough scenes to watch with her, but... She's still a very complete character.
I love Shawnee Smith.
And, yeah.
She does such a good job in this franchise.
And then John Kramer, we love John Kramer. Like, you know.
It's just Jeff's character. But it's not the actor, it's
so much of the plot that it's just awful. It's awful to sit through. Yeah. I was mad when this movie finished.
Oh, I know. Our kill count in this is 9.
Do you want taglines?
Yes, please.
Okay. Sometimes rules are meant to be broken, like father, like daughter. Don't know why. Oh, yeah, like Amanda and John Kramer. To the victor goes the spoils. Every game has its loopholes. This Halloween, he's pulling out all the stops. Suffering, you haven't seen anything yet. Pain, it's part of the puzzle. Blood, it's the price of freedom. Death, it's not that easy. I like that one. If it's Halloween, it must be Saw. Legends never die. And opening wide this Halloween.
I just have a few fun facts. So, Darren did change the film's chronological order in the editing room. So, initially, Matthew's scene was supposed to be, like, during Jeff's trials.
Whole thing.
But moved it to the beginning as a, okay, Saw 2 happened, then this happened, now it's 6 months later, blah, 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 blah. Like I said, the first cut of Saw 3 was 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, jeez.
Rob Zombie did help with editing.
I love Rob Zombie.
Me too. This is the first Saw film with nudity in it. However, I don't think that there's really any other one that has it as a feature in a trap.
I did read that.
Off the top of my head.
And we don't see, like, genitals, so I'm not sure if this counts, but the guy in... First to the second movie with the flame candle.
Yeah.
He's naked, but we don't really see anything.
Right, but we see everything on the woman.
Yes.
So. And it was more featured in that trap. That
Absolutely.
Trap with the flame was like...
A flashback.
A flashback in like a minute.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Maybe.
This one was an entire scene dedicated to... And it made sense... To have her be that way, because otherwise she'd be getting warm. It made sense.
This to me made sense. They actually said that they thought about putting clothes on her, but thought that would make it too sexual, so they went naked. Which I just think it makes sense for this.
It just makes more sense. Because if you're trying to freeze her, you don't want things getting in the way. It's
exactly.
part of the torture.
Mm-hmm.
It's freezing to death.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Tobin Bell had helped with Jigsaw's lair in terms of design. The pig carcasses are made of foam, rubber, and latex, and there were only 4 of them. Now, the maggots that are on them are real, but they were disinfected, so in case someone accidentally ingested one, it was safe.
Still absolutely horrible. If I was the guy who played the judge, I would probably be throwing up after those takes just out of sheer grossness.
Yeah.
I would be so queasy.
Do you have any fun facts that you wanted to cover?
Apparently they used the bathroom set that was made in Scary Movie 4,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of love. I haven't seen Scary Movie 4 yet, but now that I know that it's supposed to be based off the Saw franchise, I feel like we gotta watch it at some point.
You still have to watch 2 and 3 as well.
Yes.
You've only watched the first.
What's the second and the third? What are those based off?
The second one is more based off like a haunted house type of a deal.
Okay.
And like Ghostbusters and
okay.
things of that nature, like Clue and
okay.
Poltergeist okay. is a big one in that one. 3 has The Ring in it. And I don't remember much of 3, to be honest. I don't watch 3 often.
Okay. And 4 is Saw?
Saw, and I think that there is some sort of alien involved
okay.
with 4. Or unless that's 3. I think 3 might have the aliens as well as The Ring. It's okay. been a bit since I've watched more past Scary Movie 2. I like Scary Movie 2.
We'll have to watch those at some point. I've seen the first one. But, there was a body cast made of the woman in the freezer room. One time she did it for the front, one time she did it for the back, because you can't be completely enclosed for legal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and apparently she also wore a merkin.
Nice.
I would get that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I don't have any other fun facts that I wanted to cover for this movie.
I'm just looking... technically Amanda, when she grabs Lynn by the throat and she shoves her up against a wall, that was not scripted. So they actually had a little bit of skirmish in there. But it works.
Yeah. It works because Amanda's just unhinged.
She's very unhinged. But I am ready.
So I found a quick review.
Okay.
4 stars, slow-ass motherfucking Jeff, his time doing everything.
Yes, that is this movie to a T.
Yes. So, Saw 3 Traps.
Yeah, go.
In the order that I like.
Least to best? Favorite?
Yeah, we can do...
Favorite to best favorite?
We can do my least favorite to best favorite. Obviously, the concept of Jeff's trial. He has really nothing at stake. He could have just been a normal-ass, nice human being and just saved everybody and he would have won.
I know.
That's literally all he had to do.
Jeff sucks.
Amanda's final test would be next, which would be her not killing people.
Yeah.
The pig vat.
Because it's gross.
The classroom trap.
Okay.
Freezer room.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun collar. The rack.
Uh-huh.
And the angel trap.
Yeah, we both really like the angel trap. That is also my favorite from this movie.
When I first watched it, the rack was my favorite for a long time.
Really?
And then as I, kept watching, the angel trap, I'm like, yeah, no, the angel trap
That's just cool. It's a very cinematically appealing shot.
Yes. So, our current list, I can do our main list at the end.
Okay, that's good.
As well. So let's grade 3.
So Christy and I have 5 questions that we score on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each, 100 total.
Yes.
It's just a way for us to rank our movies.
First question. Was this a good horror movie?
3.
I give it a 6.
I hate Jeff. I hate this movie.
I hate Jeff, but the other pieces around this and how important they are make up for that fact. To me.
That's fair. It just really makes me mad. Because it could have been so much better.
Acting?
6.
6. Special effects?
7.
9. Nothing bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Compelling story, interesting twists?
5.
7.
Yep.
Character development and writing?
4.
4.
Yeah, so I give this a 25.
32. So, Saw 3 is currently in between Friday the 13th from 1980.
Okay.
And Carrie from 1976.
All right. So, are we ready for Saw 4?
So, Saw 4, what are some of the added cast members that we're going to be focusing on in 4?
So, we got 3. We got Scott Patterson as Agent Strom. If you've ever seen Gilmore Girls, he plays Luke. So, I was just constantly thinking about Luke. But anyway, Athena Karkonis is Agent Perez, who is Strom's partner, and then Justin Lewis is Art.
Okay, so we are going to do kind of the same thing we just did. We'll go by character. Yes. Speed run. We're gonna miss details, but we're just chit-chatting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're opening the film with an autopsy of the Jigsaw Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a full body cast of Tobin Bell.
It took him, what, 3 weeks?
It took a long time. Yeah. It is his full body.
And, I mean...
internal organs.
Full and out external.
Yeah. His dick was on the table.
We saw everything.
Yup. They cover up the brain first, and they're like, okay, mm-hmm. Here's the brain, okay, it was...
You see where the Lynn had cut out the
makeshift brain surgery, mm-hmm. They cut open the sternum, they go through some organs, they find the stomach,
mm-hmm.
There's something in the stomach,
mm-hmm.
They reveal that it is a wax-coated cassette tape.
I have no idea how you could swallow something like this without choking.
Tobin Bell has no gag reflex, clearly.
Clearly.
But, like, scientifically, you could, because your throat can expand that.
Can it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's, I think he's also on so much pain medication at the time of him
That's
doing
true.
This.
He's not feeling this.
His throat is a boa constrictor.
He doesn't have to worry about passing that. He's about to die.
He put it in his stomach for Hoffman.
Yeah, he did.
So Detective Hoffman gets called to the coroner's office, and they did have a real coroner on set.
That's
to observe the autopsy and make sure it was as authentic
as
they could.
I like that. That's so cool.
And made it more gruesome in the way that it would separate it from a mm-hmm, TV
mm-hmm,
set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we had, like, CSI and all that shit
going
on.
Yeah, a lot of those, like, bones
the
and
OG
things. Yeah.
And shit like that. So, Detective Hoffman shows up, he plays the tape, and it is for him.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you thought the games were over, the games have just begun, you think you will walk away untested... That's fucking false. Bet.
Jigsaw thrown it down even in death.
Yes. And then we cut to the mausoleum, see no evil, speak no evil trap.
Mm-hmm.
So on one end of the mausoleum, there is a man chained up to a contraption in the center, and he has his eyes sewn shut.
Yeah.
There is another man chained up to the same mechanism on the other side of the mausoleum mm-hmm. that has his mouth sewn shut. And their game is to try to essentially find a way to communicate.
Yes.
With, and try to both survive. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't happen. Because,
no, this gets to fisticuffs very quickly.
Yes. One of the characters, he is a lawyer who comes up again later in the film. His
mm-hmm.
name is Art.
Mm-hmm.
He manages to overcome the other guy
yes.
bashing him
mm-hmm.
upside the head with some very sharp pointy objects that were left around.
And
in
they
the
also kick off the trap in this, which
yes, the trap is
to pull their chains in to mm-hmm. the center. I don't know if that would, like, crush them, basically.
Yeah, it would crush the heads.
Yeah.
In them.
Yeah.
But the key is on the back of the neck of the man who's blind.
Yes. Yep.
So, Art gets the key, killing the other guy. His thread, after he opens it, comes undone from the mechanism and...
He scream.
Yeah, his mouth was full of blood.
Yucky.
So we have a victor in a game!
Woo!
Woo! Then we cut to, Riggs and Hoffman discovering the body of Carrie.
Yeah. And Riggs, they send in, essentially, a robotic video camera that can show them what's going on, so that way if it's another trap, because we've seen this in other movies, they don't get a bunch of people killed.
Yeah, similar to, like, going into the shotgun hallway or
yeah.
the electrified
mm-hmm.
leg-crushing cage.
In two. So they Riggs ignores it, though. As soon as he figures out that it is Carrie that's there, he ignores all protocol and he storms in.
Yep.
And Carrie is clearly already dead.
Yeah. She's been dead for...
A little while.
I think they say, like, 2 or 3 days or
yeah.
some sort. And this is immediately after the classroom trap. So,
mm-hmm.
this is happening, like we said, at the exact same time as the events of Saw 3.
Yeah.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Carrie dead, and the FBI show up,
mm-hmm.
Stroman Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Carrie was our liaison, she was working with us on this, and we're taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she's dead, we have to step up.
Yeah.
And there is a sign on the back of the wall that says, cherish your life, mm-hmm. which comes into play later. Mm-hmm. Hoffman tells Riggs to go home. And we'll cover Strom and Perez real quick. Just because they're important, but, like, their stuff is quicker.
Yeah, that's fair. Uh-huh. We can do that.
So, actually, we'll quick cover Hoffman. Hoffman gets abducted and is put in a trap.
Goodbye, Hoffman.
So, he's off to the side now.
Yeah.
Strom and Perez, they work through this entire movie to try to figure out who the other accomplice is besides Amanda Young.
Yeah, because they even said it in Carrie's trap, is they would have needed someone with more muscle tone and brawn in order to get Carrie up into the trap. Like, Amanda just didn't have the arm and the body strength to
do so. She doesn't have the physical.
So there has to be a third person.
And neither did Jigsaw. Jigsaw is on his deathbed.
He can't even drink his little straw water, you know, like, Jigsaw's right. not so hoisting anyone up.
They're already trying to find the third person.
Yes.
They're like, we've identified the other two, but who's this third person?
And the possibilities are Eric Matthews, because he's been missing for 6 months.
Yep.
I think that's the only lead they currently have,
They eventually add Art, who's missing.
And they kind of are suspiciously side-eyeing Riggs for a little bit, just because everyone around Riggs has died.
And that is implanted because of Hoffman's comments.
Yes.
So, but
it's important.
But they believe Art might be the main one, due to the fact that he helps own a lot of the properties that Jigsaw... Yes.
They almost, were and, essentially business partners in yeah, real estate.
It's Jigsaw's lawyer, it's mm-hmm. his wife's lawyer, mm-hmm. like, he's at the center of a lot of the mm-hmm. these working pieces.
Yep.
So they're more on the lookout for him, while also trying to find Riggs. So this movie follows Riggs's trial.
Yeah.
So Riggs gets home, after being sent home, to relax. His wife is walking out. Not really much out on him, mm-hmm. but she's frustrated, rightfully so, mm-hmm. and she needs to go help out her mom. He doesn't go with her, even though she does try to have him go with her.
But he said no.
Yeah, so he's in his apartment alone, but he gets ambushed in his own home.
He does.
And wakes up in a bathtub.
In his own home, yep.
Yes. And once he gets out of his bathroom and into his bedroom... After also using, like, a coat hook on the back mm-hmm. of the door mm-hmm. as a weapon in case he needs it. Gets his pants on and everything like that while he's listening to a cassette tape saying, hey, guess what? You in a game.
Yeah, you have been chosen.
You keep seeing the people you care about die around you, and you have to realize that no matter what you do, mm-hmm. no matter how fast or slow you go, it's going to be the same outcome.
Yeah, you can't save everyone.
Yes. And it becomes a theory to, like, the FBI agents as he goes along with his
Because
trial.
He leaves these traps behind him, so they are one step behind every time. So they find the aftermath yes. of that trial.
They're chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
But they also are thinking that Jigsaw is recruiting Riggs.
Yes.
Is what I was going to say.
Yep.
So the first person that he has to attempt to help
mm-hmm.
is a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
/ prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
/ sex worker. Mm-hmm. She's hustling younger women into the sex trade.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't fully know that at the time.
No.
He's not paying attention to the pictures around him.
He's very disoriented.
He sees her strapped down to a chair that is the scalping chair.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously based off of scalping.
Yeah, so she... Her hair is tied to a mechanism that turns, and it takes her head back more and more and more until it eventually scalps.
Yes, it will rip her skin apart.
Horrible.
And scalp her. So, Riggs first looks for scissors.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's my house. I got scissors and knives. I can find. All that stuff has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's like, okay, next part. I gotta figure out this code.
Yes.
So, he gets the code because the mechanism has... rotated enough where he gets all the numbers.
Yes.
He gets her free and he's like, okay, just wait here. I'll get you a towel.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
Right. Well, little did he know when he was passed out, she had a tape recorder taped to her hand
mm-hmm.
that she listened to saying that a police officer will come to save you and attempt to save you, but with all the evidence around the room,
yeah.
he will put you in jail.
Yes.
But in order to save yourself from that, you can take the knife that I taped under the TV and take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So she does grab the knife and attack Riggs, but Riggs overpowers her.
Yeah.
Throws her into a mirror and she dies.
Yes. She does not make it.
So he gets the clues to go to the next location.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a hotel.
Yes. Riggs and Strom then show up at Riggs' apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, because that's where they heard a report of a gunshot. They come across all the pictures and everything, and in the pictures there are some odd ones that stick out of Jill Tuck, which is Jigsaw's ex-wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we need to interview her.
Mm-hmm.
So they take all that stuff back, and they bring her in for questioning.
Yep.
And she is a rehab facility owner.
Yeah, she's a doctor or a nurse or
something in the medical field. Yeah, I think maybe a therapist of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But she specializes in caring for people who are going through a lot of issues, drug abuse.
Yeah, addiction.
She's a rehab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's helping her community.
Yeah, and she owns her own building for that.
Yes.
So they call her in for questioning, and she is kind of just numb to it all because she has been questioned over and over and over again, and she's sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
Which I get it.
Because she's not involved in these murders, as far as I'm aware.
She's
not. So, and she's like, I've told you everything already, just view the hundreds of hours of tapes that I've given you of information.
And all the shit that you've taken from my house.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm so fucking done.
Not cool.
Yeah. It's not cool. So, we cut back to Riggs. Riggs makes it to the next location, which is the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
His goal here is to lure the owner of this hotel, or the man behind the desk, to come up to the sketchy hotel room.
Yep.
And hook him up to a machine to do his trap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he successfully does that after hooking them all up. Sees that he is a rapist, serial rapist.
Yes.
And I think also some sort of, maybe a murderer as well, if he may have murdered some of the women.
Very unclear, but he tortured extremely violent. Extremely violent.
Yes.
And taped himself doing
he
so.
He was, like, acquitted 3 times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No idea.
And he kept doing it. So it's obvious that he's got, like, 15 to 20 victims at least on the walls.
Yeah, there's pictures and there's videos and it's
so
awful.
Riggs does not feel bad for this man.
No.
At all.
His trap.
Yeah. His trap.
What's that called?
It's the bed ripper.
Okay.
Which is dismemberment.
Yes. Yeah.
So it hooks up to each one of his limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal, he gets, like, triggers that once he pushes down on the button, a little blade will come down into his eye.
Yep.
And if he successfully does that to both of his eyes, the trap will let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's as slow as motherfucker Jeff, and only does one eye at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And runs out of time, and the mechanism pulls his limbs apart.
He should have just done, you said this, should have just done both of his eyes at the same time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
It would. Now, when they built this trap...
Oh, no.
It works. It can do that. And when they put the, like, dummy there for all the stuff to rim, it, like, failed, but in, like, the best way.
Okay.
So, instead of taking off the final leg, there was so much power that it pulled the whole dummy off. So his final leg is still hooked up and kind of dangling, but the body's on the floor.
Oh, gross. Like,
if that was meant to be, that was meant to be. All
that's
the traps
fine.
Can't be, like, perfect.
No, no.
He's a cancer patient, and he's got 2 people taking over.
Yeah. And one of them's nuts.
So they kept it in, they kept that.
Yeah. Well, like, both are probably nuts, but one is more nuts than the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets the clue to go to the next location, which is a school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Riggs and Strom manage to... Not Riggs.
Perez.
Perez and Strom make it to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Find out more clues and be like, they're recruiting Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone around him is missing and maybe he's
And they also find out that the hotel room has been rented out by Art.
For the past week.
Yes.
So, Riggs makes it to the school. Mm-hmm. We have a flashback moment from that school, where Hoffman and Riggs are investigating child abuse from mm-hmm. the principal to the students.
Yeah.
As well as noticing that this man is also abusive to his wife.
Oh, yes. And she's also an onlooker of this abuse to the kids and doesn't do anything about it. Because Correct. She's also being abused.
Correct. She's compliant in the fact that she's not speaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a that's got layers to it.
Legally.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that is. Yes. But I don't blame her because yeah, she's
abused. Also being abused. Mm-hmm.
So, but by the time he gets there, the game has already played out. She has unporcupined herself. So this is the spike trap.
Okay.
Which is impalement.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a grid that shows her that if she pulls out the spikes, it will release the spikes on the other side of her,
mm-hmm.
which are hooked up to her husband.
Yes.
But his are in major organs, mm-hmm, and...
Mm-hmm. He will die. He yes. will bleed out.
If she removes them. And she's mm-hmm. like, fuck it. And she just starts pulling out all the spikes.
Yep.
Physically, I think she's so weak she can't get the last one out. So
yeah, when Rick she shows wants up, to live.
When Rick shows up, he takes out the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Gives her the key, but like, you gotta save yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm on a time crunch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timer going down. He's mm-hmm. like, I got 90 minutes to get this shit done. Yeah. And I got, like, 20 minutes left to yeah. get to my next location.
I gotta
this
go.
Shit. Yeah. So, but on his way out, he sets off the fire alarms.
Yes.
So that people can come and save
so
her.
So they know where the next stop is, basically.
Yeah. Kind of like little Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, is she gone by the time they show up to this location?
No, they save her.
Okay, they do have
they,
her.
They get her on a stretcher and everything like that. She
okay.
survives.
Okay, okay.
But there are other rooms that are rigged with other things that Perez and Strom find.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being a Billy the Puppet.
Yep.
Who has a little tape recorder saying, hey, guess what? You guys are also part of this.
Yeah.
Heh heh.
And it explodes.
And it explodes. And shards and a noxious gas goes into Perez's skin and face. And she's taken to the hospital.
She doesn't she's in die, though.
No.
Okay.
She's in critical condition. And eventually, at the end of this movie, or beginning of the next one, it is mentioned to Strom that she's dead.
Okay.
That's an important thing. I think it was mentioned at the end of this one.
Okay.
That she's dead.
Okay. Okay.
Kelly hasn't seen 5 yet.
No.
So I'm trying not to give things away.
I know Strom is in more than just this movie.
Yes, but Perez is...
not. She's gone.
She's told to Strom that she's dead.
Dead. Yes.
I'm using my words very carefully.
Yeah, you gave it a lot of weight.
Well...
oh, you know, anyone who doesn't die on screen isn't dead. It's a horror movie.
Exactly. Especially in this film.
Yeah, no kidding.
If they didn't die on screen, they're not dead yet until they're dead on screen.
Yep.
Like, Adam, he didn't die in the first one. Technically, he dies in flashbacks.
He does in yeah, we see his body.
Yes.
In two.
And we'll see it.
But we don't see Gordon's body, so he could still be alive.
Exactly. Exactly, that's the right thinking, Nate.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I got it.
So, Strom is getting more information out of Jill, figures out, like, four walls, build a home, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Figures out where to look next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After that interview. So he's on his way to Jigsaw's lair.
Yes.
So is Riggs.
Yes.
Riggs makes it...
and this is simultaneously happening.
Yes. So Strom... we'll quick cover Strom. Strom makes it, and this is where we realize that 3 is happening at the exact same time as 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the seconds... after Jeff kills Jigsaw.
Yes.
So yes. He walks into that room the second, like, all that carnage happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the door slams.
Mm-hmm.
Behind him. By someone that we'll talk about in a moment.
Yep.
So, Riggs...
he shoots Jeff. Strom does.
Yes.
I think he kills Jeff.
Yes.
Not mad about it. Just no. wanted to mention it.
So, Riggs, his final goal is to reach Eric Matthews.
Yeah.
Now, throughout this whole thing, we've been getting glimpses as to where he is. Mm-hmm. Eric Matthews is strung up by his neck on top of an ice cube.
Yep.
That is outweighing Hoffman, like a scale.
Yep.
That if Eric falls off or does anything, it will electrocute Hoffman. And Art is overseeing the game. Now, Art has something attached to his back, preventing him from, like, going to the police or not participating.
He's in his own game.
Yes. He has something called spine cutters.
Okay.
So if it fails, it will cut into his spine.
And kill him.
And making him at least paralyzed from the neck down. At the very least.
Yeah.
Could also kill him. But Riggs doesn't realize that his game is to let the timer run out and not enter the door.
Yeah, and the Hoffman, Matthews, and Art all realize this when they get a good look at the actual trap and how it works. So they're screaming at Riggs.
Well, Art also knows that he can't.
It's true.
Art knows, tells the other two, gives Eric Matthews a gun. Riggs busts through the door with 3 seconds left.
I thought it was one.
The timer ends at one.
Yeah, it ends at, you're right.
Eric tries to stop him by shooting him. But because he failed.
Oh my god, this is great.
This is one of the best things ever. So, the ice from above him comes down and smacks and crushes Eric Matthews' skull.
Yep.
Which, this was also practical, by the way.
I love this.
It's amazing.
This is one of my favorite deaths.
Yes. I forgot to add it in my list.
Oh, no.
That's okay. I got it. So, but yes. And we realize that Hoffman is the other
accomplice. Because Riggs gets shot, right? So Riggs is dying. Art dies by the spine ripper, as far as we know. And then Matthews is dead. So then you're right. Hoffman gets up. We see the flashback back to the tape. Very different view of it now. He writes the letter that Amanda gets in 3.
Yep.
And reads in 3. And he also closes the door on Strom.
Yep.
In the warehouse.
Yep.
We don't have the why yet, but it's Hoffman.
Yep.
And that's where 4 ends.
Yep. So, thoughts, feelings, concerns?
I like 4.
4 is better, though more confusing than 3. It makes 3 make more sense.
It does. Yes. I thought the twist in this one was better. I didn't see it coming. I caught on to 3's twist.
Our kill count in this one is 10.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's a lot of back and
this
forth.
This also felt like Riggs cared, so he had urgency, unlike slow-ass motherfucking Jeff. Even though that worked against him.
Yes.
It and was I kind of like that.
So,
yeah.
Jeff had to be fast. Yep. Riggs had to take his time.
Both of them didn't listen.
Nope. Nobody listens in these games.
No, I mean.
Nobody.
All they have to do is literally play by the rules. Jigsaw's, like, very adamant about that. And they never seem to.
They don't stop and just think things through.
Some of it I get. Like, yeah, you gotta rip something out of your body. Yeah, okay. That's scary.
Right. So, some fun facts. So, the seamless transitions were all done practically. There's no digital effects causing that to happen. As I mentioned, there's a real coroner on set for the autopsy scene. It took 2 weeks to construct the body.
Okay, 2 weeks.
Yeah. The mausoleum trap did have prosthetic thread on both of them. So, Art couldn't really speak, but Trevor, the blind guy, could. Even though Donnie Wahlberg he was offered to reprise his role, but was too busy. But then it freed up at the start of production, and then they wrote him back in.
Yeah. So, there was thoughts that maybe Tracy was gonna be the one that was in his style of trap, which is Rick's wife. But do we assume Tracy's alive.
She's fine.
Okay.
I just think it makes more sense as Eric Matthews.
I completely agree, but I can understand why they would have done that differently.
Right.
It would have been an okay switch. I would have been fine with it if Eric Matthews could not make the filming. You know.
Oh, also, we missed an important section of the movie.
What did we do?
So, in this movie, we meet Cecil.
We did forget about this.
Cecil is the first person that's put into a trap.
Yes.
Ever. We also find out that Cecil is responsible for the reason why Jill miscarried.
Yeah, so Jill was pregnant with her and John Kramer's child, and they were supposed to give birth in the Year of the Pig.
Yes. The pig is very important to the Saw franchise because the pig is the symbol for, like, rebirth in the Chinese zodiac and everything like that, and they do mention it briefly in this, but, like, it will also take on a new meaning in 9 for a brief moment. But, yes, the pig, since it symbolizes rebirth, is why it's the pig mask. There's pig symbolism throughout all of the movies. But Cecil, he has the knife chair.
He does. So he has to press his face against a bunch of knives, and he has to do it with enough force to make it through the knife blades in order to get the chair to fall apart so he doesn't bleed out.
Correct.
And then he tries to attack John afterwards, and John just sidesteps and lets him basically fall into another trap.
He falls into the demo for the razor maze.
Yeah. And dies.
Yeah, he dies there.
Cecil is kind of...
He goes missing.
Yeah.
To everybody else, but he is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Lynn Bousman was also prepping to film Repo the Genetic Opera.
I saw that!
And I love Repo the Genetic
Opera. That's a good movie. We'll have to cover that at some point on the podcast, but Christine and I have watched that one before, and it's very enjoyable. It's a good movie.
I love Repo. Oh, it's so good. I listen to the soundtrack right now because it's spooky season.
Yes!
It's great. Have any fun facts that you wanted to mention?
This was technically the first film not to be written by Lee or James, but they had input. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really care. It is what it is. I don't think I really have anything else.
Taglines?
Yes. This Halloween, Give Till It Hurts, that was part of, I think, they do run a blood drive every year with the Saw movies.
They're doing it again for 10.
Woo! If it's Halloween, it must be Saw. And you think it is over, but the games have just begun.
I did find a review. There is a 3-star review that I found that I was like, this one's fun because the Jigsaw Killer finally switches it up and starts going after rapists and abusers instead of, like, people with depression.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
So, my traps in order of least to best, Riggs's trial in general, just the trial aspect is not my favorite.
Okay.
But it is better than, like, the other trials.
Yes.
Then it's the mausoleum. Then the spike trap. The spine cutter, because I just can't imagine
having that happen. Yeah.
We do get a little revisit to something similar to that in 9.
Okay.
I did have the ice block. But I moved it up. So, it's too late. I moved it up. So, spine cutters, then the knife chair. The scalping seat. The bed ripper.
Okay.
And then the ice scale.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, in my list.
Least.
Of 31 traps and trials.
Okay.
We'll go from the bottom to the top.
Do you want me to say the number, you say the trap?
Sure.
Okay, 31.
Jeff's trial test. Because he's slow-ass motherfucking Jeff.
Yeah, we don't like that.
He had no repercussions to him physically, and he died immediately.
Yeah, he has nothing. Jeff is useless. 30.
Amanda's final test.
Yeah. 29.
Riggs's trial.
Okay, you really don't like the trials. 28.
Zepp's toxin test from 1.
Yeah. 27.
27 is the Magnum eye hole from 2.
Okay. 26.
The antidote safe room from 2.
Okay. 25.
The pig vat from 3.
Still the grossest. 24.
The drill chair from 1.
23.
The electrified stair cage from 2.
22.
The classroom trap from 3.
21.
Flammable jelly from 1.
Yep. 20.
The mausoleum from 4.
Okay. 19.
Venus flytrap from 2.
18.
The furnace from 2.
Okay, 17.
Spike trap from 4.
Okay, 16.
The freezer room from 3.
15.
The razor wire maze from 1.
Ooh, 14.
The bathroom from 1.
13.
The spine cutter from 4.
Ooh, you really don't like that one. I'm just surprised.
No, I do like
it. I mean, I know, but like, ooh, the gross.
Just the idea of something going into my spine.
Yeah,
though,
I was like, that's 12.
The razor box from 2.
I like that one a lot. 11.
Shotgun collar from 3.
10.
Shotgun hallway from 1.
9.
The knife chair from 4.
Okay, 8.
The scalping seat from 4.
Okay, 7.
The rack from 3.
6.
The angel trap from 3.
Okay, 5.
The nerve gas house from 2.
4.
The needle pit from 2.
Yep, 3.
The bed ripper from 4.
Yep, 2.
Ice scale from 4.
Oh my gosh, and 1.
The reverse bear trap.
I like that list. It's pretty good.
It's a pretty decent variety.
I definitely would agree with some of that and disagree with others, but
so far, what's your favorite trap? It's an interesting
probably
question.
The angel trap. Probably the angel. Well, and the bathroom. I really like 1.
Right.
So
let's round this out and grade this shit. Same rules apply to this one.
Ready?
Good horror movie.
Yeah. 6.
7. Acting.
8.
Special, 8 as well. Special effects?
8.
Also 8. Compelling story, interesting twists?
5.
8. Character development and writing?
5.
8.
I had a 32.
I had a 39. So this one is in between The Call of Cthulhu from 2005 and Your Next from 2011.
That's not bad. That's really not bad. And Christy, hour and 6 minutes in?
We did good.
We did very well.
I was
well.
Real concerned that this was going to be, like, 2 hours long. And
no,
I'm like,
we went for it.
I'm like, we're going to miss a lot of information, but we need to, like, make go. Sure we're on the money.
Yep.
So, yeah, next, in 2 weeks, we're going to cover 5 and 6.
Yep.
At the same time, same format that we just did.
Do 5 and 6 happen simultaneously?
No.
Okay, so this one, 5 and 6 might be a little easier to cover.
So now we're getting to a point where it's, like, bam, 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 bam. Okay. There's no, like, real breaks in between.
Are you talking, like, the events of 5 happen right after the events of 4?
Pretty much.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. So, yeah, the movies now start to kind of happen chronological, like, one right after another.
Okay.
8 is a prequel.
Oh, no.
And Spiral happens 10 years in the future, I think.
Okay. That's a later.
Yes, and then 10 is supposed to happen in between 1 and 2.
1 and 2, yep.
So, but 5, 6, and 7 all happen pretty much one right after the other.
Okay.
There's no, there's still flashbacks, there's still some time jumps, but the events happen.
Is it a little bit more of a continuous timeline? Feels a little more easier to follow?
Yes.
Okay.
In my opinion, it's a little, and it makes more sense in solving the confusion that is 4.
Yeah. Okay.
So, if you like our artwork as much as we do,
go check out my sister Danny at Danny Draws Dragons over on Instagram and listen to our episode on Annihilation where she guest hosts with us.
Yep. And since it's spooky season, I'll be posting a lot of makeup stuff. Yay. And posters and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want to come and see that, you can follow my Instagram at Lilith_Hilltopple mm-hmm. on Instagram. And if you want to join in the conversation, let us know what movies we should cover, themes we should cover, any feedback that you want to give us. Any ideas on tiebreakers, cringe miss, anything like that, you can follow us on Twitter at AUnnerved. Mm-hmm. You can DM us over there. It's a little easier for us to find. As well as Facebook at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast. We have a wonderful group over there.
Yes.
Otherwise, is there anything else that I'm missing that we need to plug?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll see you guys in 2 weeks, so you gotta stay safe.
Yeah.
Stay spooky! It's Halloween! And, yeah, just go out and find some haunted houses to go and visit.
Because
it's eye open Saturday.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye!
Bye!